Well, if you fly Delta, all planes lead to Atlanta, Georgia. During the Roman Empire, it was said, all roads lead to Rome. It was a great highway system in that Roman Empire for those hundreds and hundreds of years, saying that all roads led to Rome. Well, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans for 16 sermons in weeks to come. 8 weeks, take a little break, and then pick up the last 8 chapters. I'm going to preach one sermon out of every chapter in Romans. I could preach for 5 years out of Romans, verse by verse by verse. But I'm going to pick one passage out of every chapter and walk us through this great book. This book that Martin Luther said was the true masterpiece of the New Testament, that it was the very purest text of the gospel. Now, I want to challenge you. I've been doing it now for several weeks. I want to challenge you to take the book of Romans, and I want you to read it over and over and over and over. Maybe just take a month and read one chapter every morning. And that way, in a month, you'll just about read through it twice. Or read it in the morning and read it again at night. Just read through the book of Romans. Read it. And you'll get your heart saturated, your mind saturated with it. I'll have my preaching heart saturated with it, and together we'll march through this book. So this morning, we're in the first chapter, and I'll begin reading from the pen of the Apostle Paul. We believe that he wrote this book in Corinth, and that Phoebe, one of the ladies following Christ, that Phoebe took the letter of Romans to the church at Rome from the pen of the Apostle Paul in Corinth and carried it. You find her in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And Paul says, please be kind and meet every need of our servant Phoebe. We don't know that she did it, but most believe that she was the mail carrier of the epistle, of this book of Romans going to the Roman church. Paul had never been there. He had not been to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome, but he had not been to Rome when he wrote. No doubt he touched people that wound up in Rome, but Paul is now writing to that church that is in that greatest city of that marvelous Roman Empire, to the church that met in Rome. So this morning, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8 and read through verse 17. And when I get to verse 14, I'm going to pause and ask you to stand, and I want you to read out loud with me verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Now, would you please stand with me? Read aloud as we take that breath at that period, and let's hear the Apostle Paul say these words. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. You're in this room today having never been saved, or you come to church, you join us here, some of you in the Warrington campus are there sitting in that pew listening, and yet you know it in your head that Jesus died for you, but you don't live from faith to faith to faith. That faith has never had a beginning. It does not have a current activity, and it does not have an ending landing place for you. You're not a righteous man because you've not come to faith in Christ. I'm praying today, in just a minute when I get finished, that you get out of your seat in that balcony around this ground floor. You'll come right here and put your hand in mine. Give me your hand. Give God your heart. Say, Lord, save me today. The righteous man shall live by faith. Paul is quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, out of the Old Testament. It's quoted here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, in the book of Galatians chapter 3, and right here in Romans 1, 17, the righteous, the King James says the just, the man that's been justified, the just, the righteous man, shall live by works? No. Live by what? Faith. Live by faith. It's what consumed the Apostle Paul to take the gospel around the world. Romans, this book of Romans, it is the power of the gospel. Lord, thank you for good news, and I pray it would find a lodging in our heart today, and that you'd save a little girl like was baptized. You'd save an old man like that 80-year-old granddaddy. That you'd save a baby boomer. You'd save a millennial. You'd save one somebody in this room today. Bless our friends on the Warrington campus, here at Olive, and together help us go with the gospel. Open wide Romans to us these next weeks, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Paul loved that place at Rome. He wanted to go to Rome, but he'd been prevented so far. So he wrote a letter. Phoebe took it and sent it there to the Christians in Rome. And in our text, I want to show you and share with you what I call Paul's three I ams. Now, Jesus said, I am many times. I am the way, I'm the truth, the life. We just preached a series on that. He said, I am the door. You would hear him. He'd say, I am the resurrection. Jesus said again and again, I am, I am, I am. Well, Paul uses that little phrase three times in our text today, and I want to show you what Paul said. Paul's three I ams. They are found right here in verse 14, 15, 16. Number one, Paul says that I am under obligation. Notice it in verse 14. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. This is Paul's burden. He has a deep burden. Now, the King James Version says that Paul is debtor. I am debtor. I am under obligation. And the word debtor is a great translation of ophiliathus, that Greek word there that has to do with money. It means to be morally bound or to be in debt. It means that you owe something to someone. And Paul says, I am under obligation. I am in debt. I am morally bound to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and to the foolish. When Paul got saved, he got this burden, and a debt came to him, and he could never become debt free. Now, out in the foyer today, there's a place there for you to take that financial course here in our church. And you ought to do it. If you've never gone through that financial course, you ought to go by the table and talk to them today. And it'll help you to know how to put your finances in order. And they will lead you with a great goal for you one day to be debt free. But now you listen to me. This church is not debt free. You are not debt free. We still owe some money financially. But let me tell you, there's one debt we'll never pay off. We are always under the burden. We are always under the obligation. We are debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian. The Greek was the educated man. The barbarian was that uneducated man. Both to the wise and to the foolish. Both to the cultured and to the crude. To the intellectual and the ignoramus. To the king if his name's Agrippa. To the slave if his name is Onesimus. Paul said, I am under obligation. I am under debt to take the gospel to everyone in this world. I shared the gospel yesterday at a ball game. A friend that I've known for several years sits right down from me. Never had opportunity before. And went down, shook his hand. We began to talk. I began to implore of him about the gospel. Wherever you are, friend, you're to take the gospel. Why? You're under debt. When you got saved, you became debtor. Because of what God did for you in Christ. Paul understood. Paul was a smart man. He was highly educated, deeply religious. And when God saved him on the road to Damascus, he got a burden. He became a debt. You see, the Christian is not spiritually debt-free. We owe it to the world to tell them of our King. Paul's sin debt had been paid in full, but it left him owing mankind the good news. Many of you are in here and you'd say to me, oh, preacher, I pay my debts. I don't think so. You say, I pay my debts. No, no. You got one debt. If you've received Christ, you are debtor. You're under moral obligation to tell others about it. And you never can pay this off. You never get out from under this. It is always there. Because of what God did for us, He took our sin. Paul said, because of what Jesus did for me, I'm under obligation to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise, to the foolish. Friend, the gospel's for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're smart or not smart. It doesn't matter if you're in the top half of the class or the bottom half of the class. The gospel's for you. It doesn't matter if you give more money than anybody or if you don't have any money. I'm telling you, the gospel's for you. It doesn't matter if you live in the Karras house or if you live in the biggest house in Pensacola, the gospel's for you. Paul said, I'm under obligation to go everywhere to anyone with the gospel. The Olive Church, hear me. Not only are we individually in debt, we collectively have a debt. And we must take the gospel to our community, to our region, to our world. It is our burden. Paul says, I am under obligation. Verse 15, though, not only does he say that I am under obligation, but then in verse 15, he said, and for my part, I am eager. I love the King James here where he says, I am ready. I am ready. Prothumos is this Greek word. Don't miss this. P-R-O-T-H-U-M-O-S. Prothumos. We get our word thermometer from this word. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I am ready. I am eager. I am prothumos to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This was not Paul's burden. This was his boldness. I am ready. I am eager to preach the gospel, to tell it. He said, I'm like a thermostat. I'm going to control the temperature. I'm ready. We'll make it. Turn it up. Turn it down. Now, let me just by a little side note here. Do not come to me and say, Pastor, it's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. I do not control that. I am not going to control that. I am not going to mess with that. Either bring you a jacket or take off your coat. Because when it's too hot in this section, it's too cold in this section. I cannot win. I will not try to win. I will laugh at you if you try to get me to do it. I have been here long enough, I don't care. Can I get a witness? Our job is to turn the heat up on the gospel. Our job is to set the temperature for the gospel. Some of us got our hearts a cold. We've never told anybody what's the reason. It's because we're not ready. We're not eager. We're not prothumos. But Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to turn it. I'm ready to put the temperature. And I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. I'll show you two things about that. I want to show you the text and the context. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Paul outlined the gospel to the church at Corinth when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, he said, Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, which also you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you of, say that word, first. I delivered as to you as of first. Say it one more time, as of first importance, the most important thing about the gospel, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Jesus said himself in Luke's gospel, chapter 4. He said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel. And who did he say he was going to preach it to? He's going to preach it to the poor, to the blind, to the oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable day of the Lord. Did you hear that song? He's going to break of a chain, break of a chain, break of a chain, break of a chain. I hear the chains are falling. That's what Jesus said. I've come to, with the anointing to preach the gospel to the oppressed, to the poor, to the downtrodden, to the broken, to those that are bound up. I'm telling you, the gospel sets you free. If you're red, yellow, black, or white, the gospel sets you free. If you're poor or rich, the gospel sets you free. Some of the richest people in the world need to be set free. They're bound up with their finances. Some of the poorest people in the world need to be set free. They're bound up with their debt. Now, let me tell you, the gospel does that. The gospel is the good news. Listen to me, friend. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever kind of mess you've got yourself into, I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. If you're an aged preacher, I'm telling you, God loves you. If you're a little boy, Jesus loves you. I had a Methodist layman tell me this week, he said, Pastor, did you hear the one? I said, oh, Lord, what's coming now? He said, did you hear the one about the little boy that walked up and found a preacher trying to cut his grass, and he was yanking on that chain, yanking on that rope, yanking, he couldn't get the... He said, the little boy looked at him and said, Pastor, my daddy says if you'll kick the tires and cuss that thing, it'll crank. To which the preacher said, well, son, when I came to the Lord, I forgot all about that kind of living. He said, you keep yanking on it, it'll come to you. I'm here to tell you, whether or not you're an aged preacher or whether you're a little boy, I'm here to tell you Jesus died for you. Amen? Yes, he did. I don't care what your stage in life is, what your standing in life is, up or down, right or left, if you're a conservative, if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, I don't care if you vote or you don't vote, I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. He died for you. This is the gospel. Jesus died for the sin of mankind. They buried him in the grave. It couldn't hold him. And on the third day, blessed be the name of the Lord, he got up. He got up and we got up, our chains fell off. I'm telling you, that is the gospel. That's the text of the gospel. Paul said, for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. But notice the context. He said, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are where? In Rome. Jerusalem was the religious center of the world. Athens was the intellectual center of the world. Rome was the legislative center of the world. In that great Roman Empire, before the emperors became gods, there was a Senate that ruled Rome. 1,000 senators. My Lord, we've only got 100, and they're about to kill us. They had 1,000 senators. Paul said, I've come to tell every senator you need Jesus Christ. As the emperors came aboard, they cut it down to 600 senators. In Rome, there were 1 million slaves that lived in Rome, and Paul had come to Rome to say to every slave, Jesus died for you. In Rome, there was one of the greatest sports complexes of their time, and the competitors in that great Colosseum, if you go to Rome, don't miss it. Go in it. See that Colosseum where the gladiators fought and where they ran those races, and coming from one place to another and running in that great. He came to tell every competitor, Jesus died for you. There was spiritual perversion in Rome. They bowed down to the god of Mars, to the god of Ithopater. Not Jupiter, but Ithopater. It was a god on every corner. They bowed down. And Paul came to say to everyone in every religion in the world, Jesus died for you. America's Rome today. To every politician, and everybody today thinks they're a politician. Have you ever seen our nation so torn politically in all your life? Not in my lifetime. Such vile wickedness. I argued with a black preacher online this week about what is the gospel. Is it political or not political? Finally, I remember hearing the Spirit of sweet Jesus whisper into my ear, hey, stupid, you wasting your time. You understand me that Jesus loves everybody no matter which side of the politic they're on? He does. Doesn't mean you agree with them or I agree with them. You don't even have to agree with them. What you've got to agree is that Jesus died for everybody no matter their politic. Every slave, every person down and out. Oh, these 1 million slaves, they were sincerely enslaved. They were not all black people either, hear me. This is not a racial issue. In our culture, the slavery was a racial issue, but not in Rome, not altogether. Anyone that is bound by anything, Jesus said, I come under the anointing to preach the gospel to those that are oppressed and bound. Friend, I don't know what binds you today, what's got you enslaved, but I'm here to tell you, we've come to tell you the gospel sets you free. Mm-hmm. To every sports enthusiast, and it is the time of year, there's so many people at Olive Baptist Church bound up with sports enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I'm standing out here minding my own business this morning. Oh, most of it is just jovial, and we have fun with it. But I'm telling you, there's some people. Do you know there are people who will not come to this church if their team loses on Saturday? Let me tell you, if my alma mater had pulled off that upset last night, I'm a Samford graduate. They came 2 eyelashes to beating Florida State and Tallahassee last night. There are Florida fans in this room today having a hard time. Let me tell you, friend, as sports. When the world is over, it's going to burn up like wood, hay, stubble, and national championship trophies don't get through the fire. Amen. Rome, one of the greatest sports cities in the world. And if your team causes you to miss church because they lose, you're an idolater. Paul said to the Colosseum, Jesus os Christos, Jesus is Lord. Many of you know I serve on the board of directors for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the University of Alabama. This Friday night I called Gary Kramer, who's my good friend, our director. I called him, I said, Gary, how's it going? He said, Ted, having one of the greatest nights I've ever had in my life. I said, great. I thought, he must be speaking to the football team. I said, what are you doing? He said, I have a group of international athletes all in our FCA office. He said, there are three Muslims. There's a couple of Hindus. He said, they're tennis players. They're on the rowing team. They're track and field. He said, I've got all of these people. And they've come together. It's our first international FCA meeting at the University of Alabama. He said, pray that we can. He said, Ted, if we can win them, we'll send them like missionaries across the world when they're done. Now that, my friend, is what sport is supposed to be about. Because the gospel, it's for everybody in the ring of competition. And you tell them of the Savior and they bow and then they go and they run the race, the real race. The race that ends at the celestial city. So, oh yeah, preacher, but you like it when your team wins. Yes, sir, I do. So you wear that, I sure do. You better fly your flag high because somebody's going to come take your flag down. That's the way it works, up and down, all around. Just don't let sport be your God. Well, we could preach right here a while, amen? Yes, sir. And then that spiritual perversion. Paul said, I've been called to preach. You anglizo, that word evangelize, to announce, to tell, declare, to bring it. Here to tell you Jesus loves you, friend. He'll save you wherever you are. Hallelujah. It was Paul's boldness. I'm eager. But lastly, very quickly, my soul, y'all are listening slow. There's one last I am. It's found right there in verse 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is not Paul's burden. It's not his boldness. This is Paul's belief. He said, I have no shame in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said there's all power. What he meant by that's the word dynamite, dunamis is right. It didn't reach anybody at any time. I often say to you, we don't serve a short-armed God. He can reach and save to the uttermost. I don't care who you are in this room. I don't care who you are on the campus at Warrington. I'm here to tell you Jesus can reach and save you. Not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of Almighty God. He has all power. It's for all people, Jew and Greek. Red and yellow, black and white, rich and poor. The gospel, he's not ashamed to tell with God save anybody. He's not ashamed to say he died for everybody. It's the power of salvation. It covers all sin. Salvation, deliverance, there's just one condition. There's one condition. Notice what he says right here. For the one who believes. Friend, you must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You must live by faith. You're saved by faith. One day you'll die by faith. Can you take me to a place, tell me a time? When did you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. See, you live from faith to faith to faith. You don't just run through and tag a base and say, sign a card and pray a prayer, and then I'm all right and I go live like hell. Oh, no. You come to Christ, He changes your life, and your passion changes you. You follow Him from faith to faith to faith to faith, because the righteous man shall live by faith. This great book, down through the years, has touched so many people. St. Augustine. St. Augustine, who's one of the great theologians, St. Augustine said that Romans 13 is when he got saved, is when the Bible said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Augustine said, I did not have Christ. Though I was a teacher of religion, he said, I didn't have Christ. And he said, I came, and the Bible says to put on Christ. He said, I put on Christ, and he saved me. Martin Luther, that great reformation, he read this first chapter. And he said, when it said the righteous man, he said, I found out I didn't have any righteousness because I knew my righteousness like filthy rags. And he said, I was trying to work my way to heaven, but I found it was all in Jesus. I gave my heart to Him, and He saved me. John Wesley. He said, I read the first chapter of Romans. 2 years ago, I was there, and I went to that room. And it was in this room where Wesley was. And he said, my heart was strangely warmed. And he said, I came to put my faith in Christ. It was there that Jesus saved him, reading Romans chapter 1. Now, look at me. Augustine would have been known as a Calvinist. Luther, of course, is a Lutheran. And Wesley is a Methodist, a predestinarian, a non-predestinarian, and one in the middle. We've been arguing about that for all these years. We hadn't figured it out yet, but the righteousness of God saves the predestinarian and the non-predestinarian and the one right in the middle. It's what He did for Augustine, for Luther, and for Wesley. That's what Jesus does. I can be a Calvinist one day and a non-Calvinist the next. I can argue both sides of that coin. I can holler whosoever will and save before the foundation of the earth. I can argue that. It's not an argument. It's good news. It's good news. Jesus says, come. A few days ago, I buried Billy Cox. Billy was not yet 40. He worked at a local hospital. He was working the graveyard shift. And there was a lull in the action. He laid down to take a nap, never woke up, died in the night. We baptized his little girl a while back. He trusted Jesus. His sweet wife, Janae, I met with her for the funeral. She said, Pastor, I'm just going to ask God one thing. I just want Billy's death to be the catalyst that causes somebody to trust Jesus. Well, I preached hard as I knew how. We didn't see any fruit at the service. But last week, a young man came by and went in Sean Pillay's office. He said, Mr. Sean, I went to Billy Cox's funeral, and what happened to him may happen to me, and I'm not ready for what happened to him. He said, the preacher showed that video the other day about that guy sticking his hands down in that oil. And he wiped it all. He said, I got that all over me. He said, I'm just as lost as that old boy was. And he said, I need to get saved. And Sean led him to Jesus. And a week ago Wednesday night, I stood right down here at the preschool entrance. And I was waiting, and Miss Janine came by. She'd been coming to church just like you're supposed to. When you're walking through that, you need help. And I brought her over and put my arm around. I said, you remember we prayed? And I shared with her about this book. And she started crying and jumping up and down at the same time. She was crying and jumping up and down. I mean off the ground. Jumping up and down and crying and saying praise the Lord and crying. And I couldn't figure out if she is having a spell or a heart attack, or I didn't know what was going on. That was the joy of her salvation. And it was the beginning of the healing of her soul. And there in a minute I started crying. And I didn't do no jumping up and down, but I should have. But I was trying to hold her from falling over. Let me tell you, friend, if Jesus saves your soul, he'll make you jump up and down. When the chains are gone, glory to God, he'll set you free. Paul said, I'm under obligation. I got this debt and I can't get it off of me. I'm eager and I'm ready to tell you the gospel. And I'm not ashamed. Oh, no way am I ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen to me, church. There's two things I want you to know, understand. Number one, if you're in this room, you've never trusted Jesus. When we sing this song and Jamie begins to sing, I want you to get up and walk right down here and take me by the hand. Or when you leave this building, I want you to go to the Next Step table. If you're on that Warrington campus, when they sing, I want you to go back to those tables. They're not very far. Go right back there at the back. Brother Mike, Brother John, they'll be right there and they'll lead you to faith in Jesus. You can get saved today. Some of you Navy people are down at Warrington. You need to come to Christ. Those of you that are in this room, you're here. You say, preacher, I'm already a church. I didn't ask you if you're a church member. Do you know the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And then some of you have already, there's somebody on your mind right now, you know you need to go tell this week. You need to pray, oh God, give me boldness. Give me boldness to be about the gospel. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. And I'm eager.